Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing this week?
I am swell. I am very curious about how your Dynasty teams are doing. Last week, we skipped a week, but last we talked, basically you had about a million teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not doing as well. We can say maybe just real life got in the way last week or what have you, but I think I'm in mourning over losing so many of these playoff games. I did start with every single team, every single Dynasty team I have in the playoffs, and that changed pretty quickly. That changed really quickly, actually. After the past 2 weeks of a couple rough games, I've got five teams still alive, so five championship games coming up this week. But that's out of about 16, 17 leagues.
Yeah, I think I asked you 2 weeks ago, if I gave you four or five guaranteed championships, would you take it? And you were kind of like, something along those lines.
That was not a wise choice. I should have taken the guarantee. We'll see what happens. I've still got, you know, still got a few teams alive. What about you?
I'm in seven leagues. One team didn't make the playoffs, and I'm getting the second spot. That's a total rebuild.
Yeah.
One team that had no business being in the playoffs went and lost in the second round, which was fine. And my two hyperactive teams, one of which I was undefeated last year, both just got eliminated. But that leaves me three. I mean, three out of seven, I'm in the Super Bowl. It's not so bad.
Nope. Good odds there. Sounds like a successful season. And, you know, we'll see what happens this week, I guess. There has been a lot of debate, and we can probably even say whining, right? Complaining about what we saw the past couple weeks, but really, especially last week,
we
saw some disappointing performances from some of the league's best players. Some of the guys we've counted on all year just didn't show up. We had some early game injuries that really threw some people off. Obviously, the Keenan Allen thing.
Aaron Jones
was another one. Those were a couple key ones that really put people on tilt. And then you've got basically guys who were on the waiver wire 2 or 3 weeks ago, right? Damian Williams was the running back two for the week, something like that. And when you're the guy that grabs Damian Williams and starts him, that feels great. But for everybody else, it is so frustrating. And
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's right. a whole other story. But we're going to answer some listener questions today, and we've actually got one kind of along those lines. So we'll save a little bit of that conversation. But yes, people have not been happy in the Dynasty community, the fantasy community in general.
No doubt. Let's get these questions. We got a lot.
Let's do it. We do. I think we're going to end up with a couple shows again, I think, which is a good problem to have. Lots of topics to talk about this time of year. Some teams are obviously still alive and playing for right now. Many other teams thinking about 2019 and beyond. We're going to start with a question from Samuel. I told Samuel on Twitter I thought this was a fun question, so we're going to kick off the show with it. He says, if you're in a 12-team Superflex league, how many players from the 2017 draft class would you trade a random first-rounder for? Samuel says he counts 23, and he's just amazed at the depth of that class from 2 years ago. So I made my list. Samuel didn't share his with me. I think we have a lot of no-brainers, definite players that we would trade a random first for. So again, he mentioned it's a super flex league. That puts Trubisky, Mahomes, obviously Deshaun Watson. I think all three of those guys are definites. You can stop me if you disagree with any of these.
Okay, yeah.
We know about that running back class. Fournette, McCaffrey, Cook, Mixon, Kamara, James Conner now in that range, certainly. I think Tariq Cohen is in that range. Aaron Jones. The wide receivers, Corey Davis, Juju.
Did you say Hunt? I'm sorry.
I didn't say Hunt. He's on the list. We'll come back to him.
Yeah, all right, good.
All right, wide receivers, Corey Davis, Juju, Cooper Kupp, Kenny Galladay. Those four, I think, are locks. And then the tight ends, I think, are interesting. I would say George Kittle is a definite at this point.
Yeah.
You've got the other three who were once considered the big three tight ends, and we can start the conversation there. Now, again, in a Superflex league, I know this is your first year. You're wrapping up your first year in a Superflex league. Those rookie picks are worth more. You've got quarterbacks who in a typical
league. The pool's bigger.
Right. You've got quarterbacks who may not have a ton of value in a typical one quarterback league, but now their value obviously shoots up, and those late first rounders, second rounders, and so on are worth much more than they might have been. So Howard, Ingram, and Njoku all still worth a first rounder for you?
I'm really enamored with Howard. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. And in this conversation with the Ertzes and Kelsey soon. So, yes, I'm really liking what I've seen from Ingram lately. But that was with Odell out. You know, I mean, that seems to be a direct correlation, of course. I think that one's borderline. I think Njoku's borderline. I'm still high on him. But, you know, would you rather have Njoku or, you know, Josh Allen? You know what I mean? Like a Joe average quarterback who's coming in the league next year. I think it's close.
Yeah, I think it's close as well. I'm going to say two of those guys, Kittle, and I think I agree with you. I think it's Howard. In this format, I'm going to leave Ingram and Njoku out of the list, but certainly close. Let's go back to the running backs. We've got a lot of guys who you can make a case for, and we'll start with the guy you mentioned, Kareem Hunt. We're not going to hash out that story. Is he worth a first rounder right now?
I think so. Young, good. I think somebody picks him up soon, like this offseason. I bet he's somebody's starter next year, maybe post-suspension. But I don't think – this sounds really cold, and I don't mean it to be. I don't think it's quite to the Ray Rice level. And, you know, Mixon got drafted and was forgiven, and Hunt, I guess, is in counseling and rehab for it. And, you know, he's still a really good player. So, like Mixon, I have a feeling he's going to be someone's starter not long after the event.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that, honestly. And we do have – we've got another question about Kareem Hunt coming up, so we won't get into his value too much yet. I just don't think I'd give a first-rounder for him, and especially if you term it as a random first-rounder with the potential to be a high one. For me, he's off the list. Some other running backs, we can run through these.
You know what? It kind of reminds me like Josh Gordon a year ago or 2 years ago.
Right.
Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. All right.
Yeah, are you willing to hang on to him for up to a year with no return?
But you're not going to get him for a second. You know, like no one's going to just give him away.
Oh, I think you could get him for a second, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we'll talk about his value.
All right.
Marlon Mack.
I don't like him that much, but maybe I'm just wrong. So, yes.
Okay. All right. We're disagreeing on a lot of these. I'm going to say no on Marlon Mack. Chris Carson?
No.
No. Austin Eckler?
No.
Matt Breda?
No.
Okay. Agree on all of those, but again, that just shows the depth of this class. Just in the running backs, there's a dozen guys or more that we at least had to discuss. Wide receivers, Mike Williams, random first rounder.
That's about as close as you can get. You're like, would you rather have Ingram, Njoku, Mike Williams, random first rounder? I'll take any of the above.
Yeah, I was thinking he was similarly valued to the tight ends as well. Curtis Samuel?
No.
No, not there yet. Chris Godwin?
No.
That's a close one for me. All right, so that puts us, I guess we disagreed a little bit, but that puts us somewhere around 20. Samuel said he counted 23, so maybe he likes those tight ends a little more than we do, or a couple of the running backs. But the point is, wow, that 2017 class, we were certainly spoiled. And I know people are concerned about the 2019 class. It's not going to be anything like that, no matter what you think about it.
Next, I bet there were some first-year dynasty players in 2017 like, oh, this is easy.
Exactly. I know that was the case in 2014. We had that wide receiver class with Beckham and Evans and Cooks and, you know, a ton of guys that I'm forgetting, but so many great players. And Yeah, it seemed like it did seem easy. You just sit back and you take all rookies and your team ends up really good.
As long as you don't take Bishop Sankey, you were fine.
that's a life rule always. Next question from Brian. Who are some end-of-season free agent flyers we should target in deep dynasty formats? So I've got a list here, and Matt, you can share your thoughts on some of these guys. I basically looked at the latest DLF Dynasty ADP and looked for players who were undrafted across the board, just not getting drafted at all. So that data goes 240 players deep. So yeah, I guess it depends on your definition of deep, but these guys,
that's pretty deep.
These guys are some combination of unproven young players with a couple of veterans thrown in that I'm not quite ready to give up on. First one might seem kind of obvious after last week, Nick Foles, back as the starter with the Eagles, and it couldn't be better timing for him as he is about to enter free agency. And I actually heard people debating that maybe he's a better quarterback fit for the Eagles than Carson Wentz. I know that's blasphemy for you.
That is blasphemy for me. But he might be the Jags starter next year, or Giants, or something like that, or sitting with a Rosen, or maybe the Eagles even bring him back, depending how bad Wentz's back is.
Well, if we believe the reports, they turned down multiple trade offers for him last offseason. So there's certainly interest, and again, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to, it seems, finish out the season for the Eagles in these last two games, and he'll have a shot. In a one quarterback league, he's probably on the waiver wire in most leagues. Maybe that changed last week when he was announced as the starter, but he's probably still out there. Kyle Auletta, New York Giants, the rookie. We haven't seen much of him. He got some mop-up duty a couple weeks ago against the Redskins and did not look good in his first action. I think he was 0 for 4 or 5 and threw an interception. Do you think they view him as the future there? They're already talking about bringing Eli back for 2019.
I don't. I mean, it wouldn't blow me away, but I can't believe that they come back with the same stable. Maybe they don't land a first-round quarterback, but I bet they get someone, and Laletta's a no for me. I think he's a lifetime 10-year backup in the league. He's Frank Reich.
Yeah, so in a one-quarterback league, you're not even bothering with him.
I'm not.
Lots of running backs. Most of these guys are young. A lot of rookies on here that we just don't know yet. I really liked the pair of rookies that Minnesota had in camp. Mike Boone, they stuck with. Rock Thomas, they cut. I think he's currently a free agent. Maybe he's on a practice squad. Like both of those guys, again, we're talking deep dynasty leagues that these guys are just sitting out there and
yeah, when in doubt, grab a talent running back.
You drop your defense. You drop Damian Williams once you're eliminated, right? No future there. You take a shot on one of these guys. Corey Grant, Jaguars backup, landed on IR early in the season. I believe he's also a free agent. We'll see what happens
there. But Yeldon's probably going to leave.
Well, if you look at that team, and another guy I've got on my list is David Williams, this rookie that they gave second-half carries to last week. They put Fournette on the bench and wanted to see what this guy that I've honestly never heard of, David Williams, they wanted to see what he had. They're ready to move on from Hyde. That was a disaster move. He's not a free agent, but certainly is going to be cut. Yeldon's a free agent. Corey Grant, like I said, pretty sure he's a free agent as well. So that's what pushes them to a guy like David Williams in the second half of week 15. Let's see if we've got our backup for 2019 or not.
And Fournette's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What do you think about Jeremy Hill? He also landed on IR. Patriots didn't see anything out of him this year.
All right. I never liked him, though, even when he was, quote, good. It's obviously a crowded backfield. I don't think he'll be back. I think that's a reach for me.
Bo Scarborough?
He just signed with Seattle.
Yeah.
No. I mean, there's three guys I like better in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, and then kind of a similar deal, Boston Scott. He was with the Saints.
Where's he now?
In the preseason. He is with the Eagles now. He got signed by the Eagles just a couple weeks ago.
They'll add a back. Yeah, I'm not buying that, yeah.
We're talking deep.
You are deep. Yeah, you are deep.
If I'm picking one of those guys, it's probably Corey Grant.
Yes, I agree. Because I think the Jags should bring him back.
Wide receivers, a little more appealing. Richie James, I think, is probably on some waiver wires. Like him in San Francisco. Deion Kane, we've talked about quite a bit when we've gotten questions similar to this. If he's on your waiver wire, I would certainly grab him. Couple of rookies we haven't seen too much from this year that I would definitely take a chance on. Deonte Burnett, Dylan Cantrell. Burnett is with the Jets. Cantrell is with the Chargers now. What about Laquon Treadwell?
Who? I guess.
Yeah, is he even worth a roster spot?
Really deep. I mean, maybe you hope he lands in a new team after his first contract's done, but you hope he ends up with the Saints and they turn him into Marquise Colston or something. But man, you're really hoping.
The interesting thing about him is, of all these guys we've talked about, he's the one most likely to be on a roster. I don't think I've seen him dropped in any of my leagues with 24 players or more. So
me neither.
He's probably still on a roster. Somebody that took him.
Somebody drafted him. Right.
They took him 1-1. They took him 1-2, as both of us did when we had the chance. And they're still just hanging on. What about Chad Williams in Arizona? He was the last guy I had on my list.
Decent, but they have to add somebody.
Yeah, it really seemed like this was his chance. He was, I guess, technically more experienced than Christian Kirk, you know, by 1 year, and they had lost so much from last season. It felt like this was his time, and he really squandered it. He didn't do much of anything.
Yeah, I can't say I'm super excited about that. It's probably going to be a bad offense again next year if he does get on the field. You know, when some of these guys, I mean, a guy like him, like, he's so far away from being able to start him on a Sunday and during the season for you, I don't think it's worth it.
Next question from our buddy Freakzilla. He always hits us up with some questions. We appreciate it. He's got two of them this time. What are the values of Antonio Brown and AJ Green in a dynasty league? Well, first of all, we know that their values are falling, both of them. Obviously, in Green's case, with the injury, that's always going to hurt. But even as productive as Brown has been this year, his value is falling as well. And it's, if nothing else, it's age-related.
I wouldn't mind scooping either up though right now. I mean, before AJ Green got hurt, I gave up two firsts in this future draft for AJ Green, and the guy threw in Derrick Henry.
Well, that's looking a lot better now.
Right. I mean, that was like 6 weeks ago or so.
Yeah.
And they were late firsts.
I think you could buy Green for a first rounder and
a second?
Not much else. Yeah, maybe a second. We just mentioned Christian Kirk's name, something like that. Christian Kirk in a first rounder, that buys AJ Green.
He's got a lot of productive years left.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot?
I mean, he's great. I mean, he's got 5 or 6 more productive years left, I bet.
Oh, no, we disagree there.
Same with AB. I mean, maybe that's too much. Maybe it's 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing decline from either player. I think there's other circumstances that have hurt their numbers.
I'm definitely more confident in Brown. I mean, you have to be given the injury history with Green and just the team situation. But yeah, I mean, when you talk about 4 or 5 years, that's a ton when you're over 30.
It is. Maybe that's a little generous. But I think both are wide receiver ones the next 2 years. I mean, they're both. I mean, AB's going to be a first round pick in redraft next year, don't you think? And Green will be a 2.
No.
You're not giving me that, huh?
I mean, maybe on Brown, I don't think Green will be a 2. I think Green will be maybe a fourth round or something like that in a redraft, and probably in Dynasty as well.
Okay. I just think they're both playing really well, and I'm not seeing decline. So, I mean, but what are the values?
Well, like I said, Green, I think you're a first in a prospect or a first in a later pick. And then Brown, more expensive, two first-rounders probably still. Okay. But, you know.
Like what kind of running back would you swap straight up for AB? I mean, like, I'd rather have McCaffrey. I'd rather have that group, but.
I think I would probably look at my, I think Connor is my RB9 right now, I believe. So I'm probably taking 8 running backs over him.
Yeah, I bet I could easily come up with 8. Like, I'd rather mix in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we're not too far off.
Still certainly carrying a lot of value is Brown. But again, it's not what it was a year ago. It's not what it was at the beginning of the season.
True. True. I can't argue that. Ryan, as I often bring up, I like to tell people about our friends over at Harry's. And many podcasts ago and many years ago, they sponsored a different podcast that I've been on. I've been on a lot. And I got hooked on Harry's, and I shave with them every day. And I never miss a day shaving. I have a very sensitive skin, so I used an electric for many years. But then I found Harry's. So it's holiday time, though. And this is why Harry's makes a perfect gift. They make very long-lasting quality products at a super reasonable price. They got a 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot. They're German-engineered blades for as low as $2 a piece. And I'll say that when I did use, I get more lasting, I use these blades longer than I do the other ones, and even though they're cheaper. It's a practical gift that he'll actually use, saving money on blade refills in the meantime. You can personalize it to make him feel special. You can choose a color now that's right for him with limited edition holiday handles, personal engraving options. It's ready to gift set, comes with handsome gift box. There's gift sets starting at just $10. There's a 100% quality guarantee, so if he doesn't love it, returns are quick and hassle-free. I can't recommend it anymore. So, as a special offer for the fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set you want, including our limited edition holiday sets when you go to harrys.com/dynasty. That's all caps. Make sure you do all caps. I'm not sure if that matters or not. But this offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. So, with each Harry's shaving set, you get a wonderful weighted handle, an option to engrave, German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, smells great, a travel cover to protect your blades, and a handsome holiday gift box. So, shipping cutoffs this week, so act now. Go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. And get $5 off any shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/dynasty.
Matt, we have one more question from our buddy Freakzilla. How many 2018 rookie running backs are better than all of the 2019 rookie running backs?
This is more up your alley.
Yeah, well, I think the answer might surprise Freakzilla and maybe others. Obviously, Barkley. Yeah, no discussion needed there. And I think Chubb is, well, not,
no
in,
discussion for
not
me.
In that category. I think he's a lock for this question, that I would prefer Chubb over any of the 2019 rookies. After that, I think it becomes a debate.
Really?
I think Darius Geis, you know, we've got some recent news on him with this infection and this setback. That has to be a little bit of a concern. We've got the injury history of Michelle and Kerryon Johnson. I think that pushes them down a little bit. And
I haven't loved how Michelle's looked in the pros. I liked him better in Georgia, just the way he moves.
Yeah, I agree. It really felt like, or it feels like, they're trying to use him totally differently, or in a totally different way than they did at Georgia. And trying to make him basically a bell cow back and not using him at all in the receiving game, not getting him out wide very much, or I don't know. Yeah. Just,
I don't like his elusiveness. I don't like his agility as much as I thought. It looks like he's a little heavier than he should be. Kind of use him like a battering ram a little too much. I don't know. I liked him more before I saw him in the pros.
So for me, I think at this point, it's only the two. It's only Barkley and Chubb. And some people are certainly going to disagree with that and might have four or five or six of these guys. You know, Penny, Ronald Jones, both of those guys have obviously been disappointing. Royce Freeman as well in that group, a little bit disappointing. We've seen flashes from Nyheim Hines, Ito Smith, Kalen Ballage last week, obviously. But those guys are not ready to really fit into that question yet. So for me, it's two. And I'm really excited to see where these 2019 rookie running backs land. I don't even know who my RB1 is in the 2019 class yet. Honestly, I think a lot, we're going to learn a lot based on draft capital, based on landing spot. They're so packed in closely right now that those things are going to determine value maybe more than they have in the past few years.
I have so much more work to do on the rookies, so don't take this with a grain of salt. But I think from what I know, though, I would prefer Kerryon and Geis to the field.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, that's. I think you're probably in line with the majority there. And the majority might have Sony Michel in that group as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the bird in the hand argument.
Next question from Matt. I said we'd talk about Kareem Hunt a little bit more, and now is the time. Matt says, what is Kareem Hunt's trade value, and what is your opinion of his future? So you kind of already answered the second question. You think he gets signed this offseason, is suspended, and becomes a starter once he returns from that suspension. Do you think there's... So the 6-game suspension has been thrown around a lot. That is the, I guess, the default suspension for domestic violence. Of course, this is not technically domestic violence. So to me...
First offense.
Right. I mean, we're not... Well, first offense, according to... I guess he hasn't been punished yet for an offense. But reports are that they're checking out what they're investigating three different.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Right,
yeah.
Three different issues. Something at a club. I don't even know. But it's having three separate instances is obviously not good. I think, and we're not going to get into the debate of violence versus domestic violence, but. The domestic violence carries the automatic 6-game ban. Because this is not technically domestic violence, the way I see it, they can give him any penalty they want. They can
be indefinite.
They can suspend him for a year. They can do an indefinite suspension. So just from that aspect, it might not be a good thing that people wanted to clarify that it was not domestic violence.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. I just kind of assumed he'd get the 6 because it's so similar. And I bet that's how it goes. But you're right. If they find a lot of instances, it could be a year. It could be indefinite. You could be, maybe we won't see him again. I've heard the Eagles are interested, though, because they need a back. They don't have much cap space. You know, he's not expensive. What if he lands there? I mean, now you're talking about it for fantasy. Wow.
Yeah, that would obviously be... pretty much a best case landing spot. I think as I've heard people talk about his potential value or if he even plays again, there's so much to kind of unpack with this situation. One thing I haven't heard talked about too much, at least, is wherever he lands outside of two or three teams, it's going to be a downgrade when you think about the situation.
For sure.
So
maybe every team.
Right. So regardless of
how
teams are valuing him or how long the suspension might be, what we have to basically accept is he's not going to be in a situation as good as Kansas City was. So that alone is a downgrade separate from all the other pieces.
Yes. Quick question for you on this. I mean, if any listener has decided that they've seen the video and they don't want this player on their team for ethical reasons, so be it. I mean, I'm putting that aside. I'm just talking strict cold business here. I offer you Jarrett McKinnon for him.
No.
Geis.
Yes.
Henry.
if I think I can flip Henry, then yeah.
You don't want to live with him.
No.
Aaron Jones.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's the easiest one, right? How about Michelle?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're all birds in the hand, basically. So McKinnon was a no.
So I think I moved the weekend that this all came out, maybe even the day that this story all came out. I think I moved Hunt from RB8 to RB19, something like that. And that's pretty much where he still is, I believe, as we just kind of wait and see how this all plays out. But as we've already said, that wait and see might be a year from now. I did check out the DLF Trade Finder to look for some recent Kareem Hunt trades. The first thing that stood out is there have not been many. So again, this tool scans actual dynasty leagues on My Fantasy League and pulls trade information from them that we can look up to gauge value. It's an awesome tool to use. There have only been two over the last.
Since it's gone down, really?
Well, there were several that same weekend, but honestly, I think that's when we were still trying to figure it out. So okay. let's get to that was the first weekend of December, I believe. So let's get to like the 7th. So let's say the past 12 days, 14 days, that something like that.
Because yeah. That first weekend, he was still a chief. You know, like he wasn't on the open market yet.
Right. Well. For a little bit.
For a day or two, yeah.
Anyway, over the past 10 or 12 days, there have only been two dynasty trades, according to the Trade Finder, involving Kareem Hunt. One was Kareem Hunt for Devontae Booker and a third rounder.
Oh, I want Hunt.
Right. So that's essentially giving him away. And again, if that's your stance, that...
Right, that's totally different.
You don't want him on your roster no matter what. Then sure, take whatever you can get. Take your best offer, and I'm not going to fault you for that from a strategy perspective. It's not something I'm going to do, but I would say I understand it. The other one was really interesting. So it's Kareem Hunt and Odell Beckham on one side. On the other side is my guy Juju, Tevin Coleman, and Ito Smith. So, again, that feels like...
I want the Odell side.
That feels like giving...
yeah, right.
Giving Hunt away, which is fine. But it also might be giving Odell away. As much as
you
I
love,
like,
you love Juju, but would you trade me Odell for Juju and Coleman?
No. No. Right. I don't think I would.
Right.
I'm not quite there yet with... I think I have Odell as wide receiver 1 or 2, and I've got Juju as 5, I think. So I feel like I'm certainly pretty high on Juju, but that trade was a surprise to me. I don't know. Maybe, you know, Odell has his own off-field issues, certainly not in that same category by any means, but he's a player that I've seen some dynasty owners say, I'm done with this guy, right?
Not me. I'll take him.
Not me right. either. Not
Call
me
up.
Either,
but, right. Yeah.
But maybe this guy was just done with the antics, right?
You mentioned Booker, and it made me think, would you rather have Hunt or Freeman or Lindsay?
I'd rather have Hunt over Freeman and
Agreed.
Lindsay over Hunt.
Agreed. Okay.
Yeah.
But that one's not slam dunks to me.
With Lindsay? Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a full-time player.
Next question from George. George says, is it worth trading 2019 draft picks for 2020? And he says that 2020 is the better class, especially in a super flex league. I agree with that, but we've talked about this one on here as well. I'm not giving away a $5 bill today for a $5 bill a year from now. I just don't think that's smart business, regardless of the class. Now, if you're talking about trading a late first for a first you think is going to be a top 5 pick, that's different. But trading
things can change so much, though, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I've seen a lot of people doing this and happily doing this, honestly, just flipping 2019 first or 2020 first.
It's a long time to wait to get a guy that can help you.
Right. So, no, I don't think it's worth it. Many other people would disagree and say it is. And again, if you're picking on the worst team in the league and he's always got the 101, 102, yeah, go for that.
If you see a terrible owner.
Otherwise, great. I don't like the plan.
I do like the idea, though, of you're making a smaller deal and, hey, throw in a 23rd, you know, and try to accumulate those, you know, the seconds and thirds for down the road as opposed to this draft. And just if the guy's ambivalent when you're making a trade and say, make it a 2020. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that strategy as well. Next question. I'm going to let you have this one. Adam says, is Alex Collins good?
Interesting, because he fell out of favor for fumbling, and one of his problems is now with Lamar Jackson in there. Well, first of all, he's no Kenneth Dixon, obviously. Couldn't help myself.
I knew Kenneth Dixon would be brought up tonight.
But the problem is, because Lamar Jackson is so unique and so difficult to defend, that it's really hard to play the true running game. So I think what they want, if you can't have a star, of course, is they want a guy like Edwards that is just a straight-ahead hammer, because there's often going to be holes there. They don't want any dancing, and Collins is too much of a dancer. You know, I mean, they just want a, you know, Sammy Morris-type guy. You know, just a boom, straight-ahead, don't dance. There's going to be something there. Get an extra yard on your own and really wear these guys down, because we're going to run the ball 100 times.
I think it's interesting that you brought up fumbles, because Lamar Jackson has a fumbling issue.
Oh, right? Yeah. Ball security problems.
He has started 5 games. He has 9 fumbles. Only 2 quarterbacks in the league have more. Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. Obviously, they have each started every game for their respective teams. And Lamar's fumbled 5 times. I'm sorry, 9 times in 5 games.
That's
so
crazy.
You know, we can chalk some of that up to being a rookie, being new to the system, and trying to run the ball more than. I mean, obviously, all 3 of those quarterbacks could be labeled as running quarterbacks, and those that are,
they're going to fumble more.
Yeah, those that are moving around the field with the ball in their hands are going to fumble more. But that's still something that's kind of been in the back of my mind that I am a little concerned about when it comes to Lamar's long-term job security.
Yeah, I want to expand upon that a little bit, because first of all, I think his pocket presence needs a lot of work. You know, protecting the ball in the pocket, feeling the rush, quarterback things. Also, more than just fumbling, he takes way too many big hits. I mean, Russell Wilson's great at avoiding the big hit, and Jackson is taking a beating. And I don't mind seeing, like, Allen take a beating or Cam take a beating, but this guy is little and slight like RG3. His durability scares the heck out of me right now. And lastly, I mean, for them to win, they're not going to beat people by 20. They're not going to put up tons of points. They can't lose a turnover battle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I do think Jackson has gotten better these last couple games as far as taking the hits. I mean, I'm sure you watched him probably all these games. He's getting out of bounds earlier, right? He's doing those things to.
I'm sure they've emphasized it to him.
Right. Well, they even made a point of that on the telecast last week. The announcers did that he had worked with RG3, which is a great player to have on that team. I'm sure that's one of the big reasons they kept him around. But he had worked with RG3, and Griffin had just encouraged Jackson, you can't take these big hits. You've got to get out of bounds. You've got to slide and avoid these shots, or you're not going to be long for the league.
No, you're 100% right.
So Alex Collins, good or no? Not good.
Not really, but he'll be on a different team as a backup next year. Like, maybe he's James Conner's backup. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he'll be somewhere.
That's where I am. He's worth a roster spot. but he's not going to be a fantasy starter.
He might be a nice guy if you're making a trade. Hey, throw in Collins and you got a deal.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, okay, I don't like him anyways.
Next question from Matt. We kind of hinted at this one at the beginning of the show. Matt says, how do you guys overcome a youth-filled team, tons of promise, but once it comes to the playoffs, you're let down? The dynasty mindset is to buckle down and keep improving, but it can get tough to stay the course when winning is the main goal. I understand that. I think a lot of people understand that. We talked about the tough past couple weeks. I actually put a question on Twitter to see how people were feeling about this and was really surprised at the results. So the question was, how are you handling the frustrating past couple weeks of the fantasy playoffs? And the options were quit, meaning I'm going to quit playing dynasty or fantasy football. I'm going to play best ball dynasty leagues. So in that format, of course, you don't submit a lineup. It just pulls your best lineup. If you're familiar with MFL 10s, it's that same format in dynasty. Third option was adjust the payouts. I saw a lot of talk about let's reward in season, dominance, the strong teams that are, consistent from, you know, throughout the regular season. So adjust payouts, maybe reward those. And then the other category, I ask people to comment, and I got a lot of comments, spanning from, people were going to focus more on DFS. They were dropping leagues, a lot of comments that basically said, suck it up, right? This happens. It happens every year. The best teams don't always win, which is certainly true in the NFL as well. But of my four options, I was shocked that quit was the most popular. 36% of the people, and that got a couple thousand votes. 36% of the people are taking their ball and going home. They're giving up, and I really hope they change their mind. Right. Yeah, come back.
Maybe that was a hasty decision. Just. Damn, I had Keenan Allen. I'm done. Yeah. I can't do it anymore. My heart just exploded. Real quick on that, though. I started playing fantasy with my high school buddies, and we still do that way, way back in, many years ago. Before I knew anything about, doing this for a living or anything along those lines. And in that league, we split the pot 50% for total point winner, 25% for Super Bowl winner, 25% for second points winner. And that's the only way I knew for 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And it shocked me that there's so much emphasis on the Super Bowl, and it's made me crazy ever since. Like, because, like that league right now, I'm winning by a wide margin over the other 11 dudes in there. And I happened to get knocked out last week, but I clearly have the best team. I mean, it's not even close. I should make the most money.
Yeah, I think of those. I'm certainly not quitting, and I honestly don't enjoy best ball dynasty leagues. I know that's a favorite of many, but for me, I just see my activity go down if I'm not in there and trying to make trades. Of course, most of those best ball leagues you don't trade during, at least during the regular season, you don't trade, and you're not making waiver moves. I just kind of lose interest in the league, honestly. I'm in a couple.
I bet, yeah.
One of them I haven't checked in quite a while. I
know there's nothing you can do.
Right. I know my team's not great, so I don't even really look to see how I scored from week to week. I do think adjusting payouts to something like you're talking about is probably the best option if you're frustrated. And maybe the real best option is just get over it. This happens every single
year. Tough it up.
This happens every year. Deal with it.
And this past week was an odd one. We all get that. And it cost a lot of people some money, but it also made some people some money.
Yep. Next question from Richard. Richard says, can you have a Matt Breda, Jerick McKinnon conversation? Can or will Jerick McKinnon be cut? If they're both 49ers, is that just a running back by committee that we don't want any part of? So let's start there. McKinnon can be cut, certainly. There was a lot of talk following his injury that his contract was a glorified one-year deal. The 49ers could get out of that pretty easily. I looked at the numbers. It's not that easy. $6 million in dead cap if they cut him this offseason. So that's, I don't know, that's in the middle, I guess. Like, that's not something that they would jump at the chance to do to get rid of him. But if they really wanted to, they would bite that bullet and make that move. I don't think we've seen enough from Breda or any of the other guys that they could feel comfortable doing that.
No, I don't either. I think McKinnon's a great buy low right now. I just absolutely believe that no matter who they put in there, they put up running back numbers. I mean, that system is tried and true. And it wasn't long ago that they loved McKinnon, and McKinnon didn't do anything wrong between now and then. And they have cap space. They're not desperately in need to free up, you know, $5, $6 million, whatever it is. I think he's going to be the man. Although the Coleman-Freeman conversation is a good one because Shanahan has used a dual backfield. But I've said it before the last couple of weeks, like, Breida is, it takes a beating, man. Like, I don't think he's going to be in the equation for a long term.
Yeah, if you've got both of these guys healthy, then that's an exciting backfield, right? McKinnon's explosive. Breida's kind of a bruiser who can do a little bit of everything. The problem is both of these guys have an injury history that's a concern, and it's pretty easy to fast forward to the middle of 2019 and imagine both of these guys on the IR, which is scary. So whether they like Jeff Wilson or you know, Mozart or one of these other guys, I think they have to have kind of a plan C in place.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And I do think if both are healthy, though, the running back production pie is still pretty big.
For sure, for sure. And I would be happy with either of those guys on my team. I'm just not going to pay. I'm probably not going to pay the prices it would cost. And McKinnon is going to be like most of these other players. He got hurt. His value dropped a ton. He's kind of remained under the radar. And now that we're getting close to the offseason, dynasty owners are going to think best case scenario, and his value is going to go up because of that.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add on that one, but don't go shoveling a grave for McKinnon quite yet.
Yeah. Are you giving a late first for McKinnon?
No, but early second.
Okay. Next question from Tubaca, another listener who always hits us up with questions. We appreciate it. He's got a good one. Trade Kenny Galladay for Patrick Mahomes. And he says, assume you have four other strong wide receivers. So straight up, Galladay or Mahomes in a one quarterback dynasty league?
Galladay. I mean, I respect Mahomes, and maybe he makes you reevaluate the quarterback by committee or, you know, late round quarterback ideas because he's so good. But he's a quarterback. I mean, Galladay's a really good player to me. I mean, we did that startup, that mock startup, and Galladay was, what, like a third rounder, a fourth rounder? And I know Mahomes is in that range too, but I can get a quarterback anywhere.
Yeah, they do have similar value if you're looking at ADP or dynasty rankings, anything like that. I think this is another one we're going to disagree. I think I'm going with the quarterback here, which is kind of a surprise even to myself. But I mean, Mahomes and people want to talk about Watson last year or Wentz last year that these guys just gained value quickly and it's kind of fleeting. Well, first of all, it's really not. Both of those guys still have a ton of value. Neither of those guys put up numbers like Mahomes has this year. He's not in that. Yeah, he's not in that category, I don't think. I mean, when you're looking at record-breaking numbers potentially, and you're talking about Manning and Favre and Brady and all these names that he's being thrown into the mix with, it's not just, you know, it's not a fleeting thing, I don't think.
I think he's phenomenal, and he's in a great situation with a great coach, and it won't get any worse. And clearly he's the dynasty one. And maybe, you know, if you do have four other strong receivers and you're not sure who to start and you get Mahomes and plug him in for the next 10 years, I get it. But in a vacuum, I'd rather have Galladay just for position.
Next question comes from Verinus. He says, what's the 2019 outlook for Jeff Wilson Jr., Jalen Samuels, and Daryl Williams? So, Matt, we'll let you start with Jalen Samuels. How do you see that going?
Yeah, I mean, I know he has had a really good game, and I do think he's a good receiver. At best, he's Connor's two and not in any sort of committee. I still think they probably add somebody. That Patriot defense is pretty bad. I was not impressed with Samuels the week before. I think if you can move him, you know, if he never plays again this year, which is a possibility, you might be able to get pretty good value for him this offseason when, you know, you're able to do some trading again.
Yeah, I think I kind of see it the same way. And what we know about Pittsburgh is they're not really a running back by committee type team, right? They get their one guy, and whoever that one guy is for that week, whether it's Le'Veon Bell or Samuels or Connor or D'Angelo Williams, that's who it is. We saw D'Angelo Williams tear up the league in the past 3 or 4 years during his time as starter. And when Bell came back, Williams was just a spectator. So it didn't matter how great Williams had been. And I think we can say the same for Samuels, although he hasn't been in that same category, right? D'Angelo Williams was the RB1 a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, Samuels had one good game.
Yeah, and then he just went straight back to the bench. So, yeah, if you can get a second rounder for Samuels, I think it's a smash accept.
Agreed.
Any thoughts on Wilson or Daryl Williams?
We kind of talked Niners. I mean, yeah, I have a hard time believing Wilson's going to be in the mix, but Breida gets hurt, and then you kind of like him again. Or McKinnon gets hurt, which could happen, obviously, and you kind of like him. I mean, I like the player. I like the situation when he's on the field, he's just kind of buried.
Yeah, I like Wilson more than Daryl Williams. I don't think Daryl Williams is worth a roster spot at all. I do kind of like Wilson. If your league's deep enough, you've got to have probably 26, 27 man roster spots to hang on to him this offseason. But if that's how deep your league is, go for it. Matt, last question of the night. This one comes from John. Aaron Rodgers' trade value in rookie picks. And he notes that he's also got Patrick Mahomes. So that's nice of John.
There you go. Yeah. And you got to make that deal.
Certainly makes Aaron Rodgers a tradable asset there. Well, you can't get a first. You can't get a first.
You agree, though, this is the lowest Rodgers stock has been, I mean, since I've been playing Dynasty.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if I would trade him for a pick because, like I just said, I don't think you're getting a first rounder. And are you trading Rodgers for a random second, a mid second? I think that's where the value is.
You trading him for James Washington or Dante Pettis? I mean, it seems like it's crazy talk. Like one guy's going to the Hall of Fame and the other ones have, you know, had a decent couple plays.
Yeah, I think I'd hold him if that's the best I could get. If you're moving him and if you have Mahomes, you probably should move him. I actually have both of them in a league. Maybe I can trade Aaron Rodgers to you in Hyperactive 4. I think I have both those guys there. If you're moving him, your best case is probably to package him with a running back or a wide receiver and try to get an upgrade at those spots.
Some starter. Like an every week starter type guy.
Yeah. Or an option going back to that 2020 class is trading Rodgers and a second rounder for a 2021st. Maybe that's how you get the first rounder. Hmm.
I was going to say just Rodgers for a 2021st, but I think your deal gets it done.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't think yours does actually.
No,
I don't think you're getting a first rounder for him at all. In a one quarterback league.
Mm-hmm. I mean, would you trade him for a guy like Geis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah, never mind. That was a dumb question.
I mean, I think you could probably look at 20 running backs to take even mm-hmm. up for him. Something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And certainly
trade him for Hunt.
Maybe.
Yeah, right. I'll take Hunt.
All right, Matt. Great stuff tonight. We've got more questions, so we're going to get together again later in the week. We'll have another listener question show for you guys then.
We're going to do our best to get some more shows your guys' way here than we have been doing. The life's been getting in the way a little too much.
Yeah, absolutely. No more missed weeks. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time with more Dynasty Blueprint.